Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is We Watch Stuff number 86, a one-part show this week. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the two-parter as we gush about Triple X and got into some other stuff. So I'm here. I'm Jeremy. On the other end, as always, is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying their day. Countdown to the Royal Rumble and the end of January.
Yeah, I know this is like a cliche thing to say, but boy, this month went quick.
Right? Yes, it did.
I guess being sick for me kind of helped, but time wasted, because as we were talking about before the show, I had no idea some of the shows we cover started up again.
Yeah, it has a way of kind of sneaking up on you, because you're just, I think now the whole new thing is like, you know, you had the winter break, and then you expect some stuff to come on after the Super Bowl, and it was like Gotham came back 2 weeks ago with Shield, and then, or like last week with Shield, and now all of the DC shows are coming back.
Yeah, and I'm glad you told, well, I have a DVR for now, so I'm glad you said something. I forgot Legends of Tomorrow switched to Tuesday nights, which is, makes a packed night. You got Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Agents of Shield. A nice 3-hour block of programming, even if it's on two different stations. But yeah, I'm an episode behind on Agents. It ended with, wait a minute, did I see the, yeah. Because it's, now it's called LMD, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I saw the first episode where, of course, the guy who played Badiatis on Spartacus is, of course, a bad guy. I don't think he's ever played a good, like, a good guy in a movie. Or
hey,
TV
you,
show.
You're not counting The Mummy.
No, I didn't like those movies, so
I mean, he's, I mean, technically, he's a good guy. You can not like the movies, but yeah. Yeah, I think that's the only thing I can remember. It's
that's
funny
true.
Because watching The Mummy kind of threw me off when I saw him in Spartacus, because I remember him as like the goofball in The Mummy, and like, this guy's a dick, but enjoyable. Like, it was weird. It took me a while to get used to him being a bad guy on Spartacus solely because of The Mummy. But then it was weird thinking he was a good guy while watching S.H.I.E.L.D. because of Spartacus. I'm glad he's not a good guy, so.
Yeah, Stars really threw me for, really threw me. They started talking about Spartacus, and I saw the commercials, and I was thinking, are they bringing it back? How did this go under the radar? And I was like, yeah, starting from the beginning, I'm like, okay, so are they starting from the beginning to go into the new season? Nah, they're just putting it on, I think, Friday nights again. It's like, God damn it.
Yeah, they're just showing it for people who missed it, because it was like one of their, I think it was like their first like big show and one of their most popular shows they like have ever done. So that's really the first show like I watched from Stars was Spartacus, and the first show that like, and that's like the first show that actually like did the whole binge thing. Well, second show, The Wire was the first one. Spartacus was the second one, and then because of that, led to Breaking Bad, led to whatever. It's like, that kind of opened the floodgates for binging on Netflix. So, and that's before Stars broke their deal with Netflix, back when you can watch their shows on Netflix. So yeah, and it's funny, like, because before we get into what we get into, they have a kind of unique, like, I guess, alumni. Like, a lot of people from those shows went on to a lot of things, but the one guy that became kind of the movie star is probably the worst. Like, act on that show.
Yeah.
The one we have talked about many times, and that's Jai Courtney. I guess because he's the most, and I kind of figured out why they picked him, and I also figured out like what his issue was. It's this whole thing with like, people ask what's wrong with like Hollywood and movie stars. It's because when they get leading guys, they're plain. Like, they want to get somebody that everyone kind of likes or a lot of people like, so they can't stand out too much. They can't be too, you know, idiosyncratic or too whatever. So they get, like, white bread. White bread's boring by itself. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize, like, you look at the movie stars who've been movie stars, they're movie stars because they are not white bread. Something about them stands out, whether it's, like, superior acting, quirks, or something. Something that, you know, rivets you onto it. And Jai Courtney is just white bread. Like, he looks, I mean, and it's not just him, because, you know, Scott Eastwood had that same issue. It's been a lot of, like, they always get some guy that has a run for, like, you know, what was the guy, Alex Pettifer, There's always some guy like in his 20s, has a, you know, same type of face, same type of haircut. It's like he's going to be the guy we look through their eyes to be a movie star. And they tend to be dull as dishwater because they're designed to be that way. And then people keep saying, oh, why can't you have a movie star? It's like these, if half these guys I put into, if they didn't have a name under them, I wouldn't know who they were. That's the problem.
Who was the last guy? Alex Pettifer?
He was the guy, he had his run. He was like the kid, like the guy Magic Mike that was under Channing Tatum's wing. He was in like I and Number 4 and some other stuff.
I've got him pulled up. I recognize him, but yeah.
And they tried with Taylor Kitsch and, you know, with him, let's maybe he'd be an action star. Now it's like Aaron, what's his name? We always call him Kick-Ass.
Oh, Aaron Johnson?
Yeah. Yeah, like, he's been in Age of Ultron, he was in Godzilla, like, you know, because, like, he has that face, and it's like, he's, and I remember we talked about earlier, I was trying to figure out how to describe Kate Beckinsale, and I think the best way to describe her is the closest thing to the man version of Brad Pitt, and what I mean by that is, like, Brad Pitt is a character actor that just happens to look like a old-fashioned 50s movie star. When he does like regular movie, big time movie stuff, it tends to be boring. When he does his weird stuff, like when he gets to be different, mm-hmm. that tends to be his best movies. And he would get more of those roles if he didn't look the way he looked. But since he looks the way he looks, people cast him the way they cast him for the longest. And then until they realize where he can actually act and he can do like acting stuff. So let's have him do acting stuff. Like you would never think like the guy that was in Meet Joe Black or being in Inglourious Basterds playing like a redneck Nazi killer that got hung a long time ago or stuff like that. So, and Kate Beckinsale is the same way where she can act and she's gorgeous, but people just cast her because she's gorgeous. Like, no, they cast like, oh, she's this pretty girl, so let's cast her in pretty girl stuff. She can actually do kind of like, you know, bitchy, like she can act, and the few times she gets a chance to act, she's done well, but it's movies where people never see those movies because it's kind of like we want to see her either get wooed by, you know, John Cusack or Ben Affleck, or we want to see her dress around in leather stabbing people.
Oh, yeah. So, to back up from it might have been an off-air conversation about Underworld. What's the last one? Was it?
Uh-huh. Blood Wars.
I'd never seen one of those in the theater. The wife has. And every time that commercial came on, like when it first came on, I was like, oh, look at that. She's like, eh, I don't want to see that. Like, I've seen them all, so whatever. So last night, during Raw, there was a preview for it again. For whatever reason, they're still advertising it. I'm like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, that's out? I look at her, I'm like, yeah. It's been out for a few weeks. Well, I didn't know that. Oh, well, you didn't want to see it, that's why. I didn't say that.
You probably just rolled
your
eyes.
Yes, you did. Oh, no. I don't do that. So I was like, no, every time that preview came up, I would ask you if you sure you wanted to see it, you didn't want to see it. And you said, no, I don't need to see it. Cool. So now all of a sudden she wants to see it. I'm like, I'm lost. I'm waiting for her to change her mind to Resident Evil as well. Because that's this week. That's really the only big release this week, right?
Yeah, and I believe so. I think it's one more thing, and then John Wick comes out, so
February 10th. Yep.
Yeah, it's funny about, I was thinking about Underworld, where, like, quick thing, the difference between that and Resident Evil is, we've talked about it, but someone I brought a big point reading the article about earlier. Underworld built a universe in its first movie, and each movie they've, like, added upon the universe to a point where they had a movie that didn't have Kate Beckinsale in it. People went to see it, and it was a good movie. Resident Evil couldn't do it because their whole thing is built around the star, and they didn't really build it. Like, they built a universe, but it's more like, you know, it's from, we'll take stuff from video games, mash it together, and everything's wrapped around her. We'll have people that last maybe at most two movies, but don't kind of get attached to them because they're not going to last longer than two movies. Like, and that was kind of the running joke with that series. Like, Underworld is weird, where they built a universe basically off of, like, it's just one shared universe, and they built history. This stuff happened hundreds of years before. They'll have flashbacks showing that. Then, like, each movie, they'll add stuff to it and, like, flesh out, like, if someone asked me about the last movie, I would say you could watch the first one and the fourth one, and you'd be okay. You could really watch the first one and be okay. Fourth one might help a little bit, but if you watched all of them, then the movie would mean a lot more because the people would mean a lot more. Like, yeah. They have, like, they could come in having backstories because you say, oh, such and such dated this person from like two movies ago. And that's, and you can just run with that, and then all of a sudden stuff has more weight. And like, you can only pull that off if you build a universe people cares about. And that's one of the few like women driven action stories. Like, it's not based off a book, it's not based off a comic book, it's not based off a video game. Like, it's a franchise that was made, built its own universe, and still around. You don't see it a lot, period, these days, much less like woman related. Like, you don't even see like man related anymore, where it's, if it's not comic book related, then you kind of got like Mission Impossible, Fast and Furious, and that's it. Because, you know, no more, there's no really Die Hards anymore, there's no Lethal Weapons anymore. I don't know if Rocky counts. I was thinking maybe, like, you know, Rambo's not a thing. Yeah, Rambo's not a thing anymore. It's kind of like, or really Terminator, like those kind of like died out more or less. So it's funny that that happened, and it's funny that she said that, because I remember all the time we had talked about on this show saying like she wasn't interested in seeing it. Yeah. So for you to say that now is kind of hilarious.
I was like, yeah, okay, I don't care. But I was looking up something. It's funny how we talked about this on earlier shows. Underworld Blood Wars has a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And on IMDb, it has a 6.4 out of 10. So something's, I almost said rotten. Something doesn't jive, because the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes is a 61%. And, you know, I didn't even check XXX. Of course, 42%. And, well, only 53% from the audience. So kind of a close one, which actually is disappointing.
It's the people who that's going to like it are going to like it, and the people that aren't are not going to bother. Underworld's always had that, and Resident Evil has always had that disconnect between fans and critics. Like, none of them have ever done like even decently on Rotten Tomatoes from either series.
Yeah.
But people go to, like, those movies make money. Like, Resident Evil movies make more, surprisingly, but people go to see those movies. Like, when I went to see it, it was, you know, it was funny, like, the demographic was between teenagers and people in, like, their 50s. Like, it was, and it was like I'm seeing an old black couple that's like in their mid-50s seeing this movie. And I'm like, why? And they had a good time. Like, I'm glad they went to see the movie, but you wouldn't think that's a demographic that would see a movie like that. But
I was saying, we're some primitives. Like, I had my theater. It's fine. Still haven't let that go. But
as I can tell, but no, certain movies like that, like Fast and Furious used to be that until it became quote unquote respectable. It was like those guilty pleasure movies. Fans are going to see it regardless. Critics are always kind of turning their nose up at it, because it's kind of like, they've always had a certain thing with genre movies anyway. Like, it's not real movies. It's not La La Land or that crap. So unless you're like Mad Max, like, unless you're like the best of the best.
Yeah.
Because even like during the Oscars, and I know like Deadpool didn't get nominated for one. I didn't care if it did or not. It was all these people that's like affronted that it was even talked about being nominated. Like, what kind of joke is this? I'm like, ooh, if you want to hump Hacksaw Ridge that much, go ahead. But I hate movie snobbery, because it's movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's snobbery that has no place in movies at all. Let's be realistic about that.
Well, it does when it benefits people. I mean, wait, well, yeah, that'll be 2017. I was looking up Oscar nominees for. Did they actually announce the? Oh.
Yeah, it was today, this morning.
Okay, I saw a headline about that, and I ignored it because there's so much clickbait, which I don't even like using like terms like that, but that's all it is. And so let's see, have I seen any of these? No, 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 no. I haven't seen one of the best picture.
I've seen two of them, and that's
Hidden Figures
and Fences.
What was Fences
on that? The one with Denzel Washington.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, I haven't seen any of those. Like, I didn't, you know. And none of them was, like, Arrival I wanted to go see. I just didn't get a chance to see.
Oh, that's right. Maybe this isn't the place to tell you, but on Xbox, you have an Xbox One, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I knew that. I don't know why I asked. There is an app, which I don't understand how Xbox is allowing this. It's called HD Movies.
Uh-huh.
And you can watch in-theater movies. Now, some are cams, you know, mm-hmm. just people. Some are just standard definition, and then others are HD. So I started watching Hidden Figures the other day just to see if it worked, and damn sure it did. So, yeah, there you go. So I'm sure it's going to get taken down eventually, but I'm shocked that it's actually a legitimate app on the Xbox One.
You think stuff like that wouldn't slide through, but then again, Microsoft tends to be kind of janky when it comes to stuff like that. So
yeah,
until it gets taken down, I will definitely take that. I will keep that in mind. But no, like Arrival, I hadn't seen. Moonlight, I haven't seen it either. Those are the ones I wanted to see. La La Land, like, I'm just sick of this, these Hollywood jerk themselves off movies. And basically, Ryan Gosling teaches black people how to do jazz properly during the Hollywood time. Yeah, no thanks. No,
I don't even know it. I saw that. I saw they started singing. I went, oh, musical? Pfft, nope, not seeing that. So,
yeah, I'll see a musical if it's a cartoon. If when it's adults,
yeah, I think that's fine. Yeah,
yeah, like it's adults. Unless it's like Disney, and maybe you can sneak me into it, maybe. And I have to be in a real tolerant mood to do that. Yeah, I'm not. I don't care how precious Ryan Gosling and Emma Stones are. That
okay? So
no.
To go back to the snobbery part, though, here it's like that's all the Oscars. That's all the what's the other one? The Golden Globes. The worst one is, was it Independent Spirit Award? Isn't that the night before the Oscars, where the actors really get together and suck each other's dicks? And you don't see anything like, I'm looking on this, and I know nothing's going to be on there. I know, and none of the movies we enjoyed that made a shit ton of money are going to be on this list. And so far, I'm not wrong.
It's fun, and it wasn't always like that either. Like, there was years where there were like blockbuster big movies that got nominated. Like, you know, a lot of people went to see Gladiator. Like, it wasn't a big deal. Like, you know, they've had blockbuster movies that were good enough where they're good movies and people went to see them and they won awards. Now this is the whole thing where it's this. I mean, and a lot of those movies tend to be boring. Like, I don't mind drama and stuff, but it's like you're doing it just, you know, to be nominated. Mm-hmm. And it tends to be the same old thing. It's somber. It's about white guilt or something historical or somebody getting fat or somebody or somebody getting ugly or something
somebody
like that.
Dumb or
yeah,
whatever.
Or you know, I'm gonna play somebody like I'm gonna play Jacqueline Kennedy and walk around all boozed up. Or I'm going to play...
Is that on... Yeah, that was called Jackie,
that's that,
right? Is
Jackie,
that
yeah, that's Natalie Portman. Yeah, or, you know, I'm going to play Stephen Hawking and have my neck stuck to my shoulder and insult people that really go through that. Or I'm going to pretend to be transsexual and throw some lipstick on and lose 20 pounds. Or, you know, I'm going to gain 75 pounds to play a president or whatever. I'm going to eat dirt. Or like any like it's,
yeah.
And unless I'm like, we got Daniel Day-Lewis do that. I don't need the rest of y'all doing that. He's got that whole lot. Like, let that be. He was actually like, when I read the story about what was it, my left foot or something like that, or he was he broke a rib because he was holding his body like that to be realistic, or he caught pneumonia because he wanted to wear coats from the 1840s that he sold himself. I'm like, yeah. You can't compete with that. Yes, sorry, Jared. Like, sorry, Jared Leto. Like, I got Daniel Day-Lewis. When you're used to the gold medal, people futzing around for the bronze just seem like a waste of time for me, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so I'm looking at this list of stuff, and it's like the movies we like are the movies that, you know, aren't just straight snobbery. That's all they are now. The visual effects, Rogue One, Jungle Book, Doctor Strange. I didn't see Deepwater Horizon. Actually, I haven't seen Jungle Book yet. That's on my Netflix list. Kubo and the Two Strings. I thought that was an animated movie, so I'm confused how that could be visual effects.
I guess they consider it count because it's like stop motion. Like
okay.
I've seen three of those. I know Kubo was it like Jungle Book is
it's
gorgeous.
All fake. Just outside of anything about, else. Have to have about, that win.
Yeah, like we talked about that. Like when I read, it was just one guy on a soundstage. My jaw dropped because the only reason I knew it was fake because I knew lions and monkeys couldn't talk in real life. Other than that, I had no damn clue. Cause that's how realistic it looked.
Yeah,
it looked more real than like Tarzan, which was real for the most part. Yeah.
But I'm looking at this stuff like okay.
The only thing I'd say is I'm glad non-white people got nominated for stuff, so we can leave this alone. Because 2 years in a row, we was doing this whole "how everybody acts as good as white" thing, and we was kind of like it went to, "oh, it doesn't matter, don't worry about it." Like, well, if it doesn't matter, then why are we doing this in the first place? So, so I'm glad it's kind of like, oh, black people and Indian people can actually act too. Because what's his name, Cottonmouth Mahershala Ali, he got nominated for. It's funny where he was doing like three or four things all at like one time. Like he left House of Cards because he was too busy to end up doing Luke Cage and two movies.
Yeah, see,
so he left being on a hit show because he was too damn busy.
Yeah, see, this is how I know things have changed. Like I when it came to the Academy Awards, I used to make sure I saw all of the top movies. Like anything that was going to be nominated, I would hurry up and try and go see just to have some sort of opinion. I'm looking at this list. I don't give a damn about any of these movies. Moonlight, I'm not sure what that is. So there's that.
That's something I want to see, but it's like real kind of specific. You got to really care about stuff like that to want to see it. Otherwise, nope.
All right, I'll look it up real quick. Manchester by the Sea, My Kid Died movie, I think that's what that is.
Yeah.
No thanks. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see that.
You want to see a sad white man being sad?
No, I think I can look in the mirror the quarter of the time, and I see one that's just fine, and I can relate to him way more than I can to something like that. Moonlight, just whatever. There's been a bazillion stories like that. So,
it's funny where you say that. Like, it's been a bazillion stories like that, but they've all been one color.
Nah, it's been from all over.
No, it has. Why do you think that movie got nominated? They don't talk about stuff like that when it's not white people, unless it's like foreign. Lions, like I think it's some Indian. I think it's like a movie. An Indian guy was like adopted, and he goes to find his.
Hell or High Water, I did want to see, so I got to backtrack a little bit. I thought that looked pretty damn good from the previews, and it was only out in theaters for like 2 weeks. So
yeah, I want to see that too, but like by the time it got to, we were waiting for it to actually get into the movie theater here, and then by the time it was, our work schedule got in the way, and then we had a chance to go see it. So,
but it's like I won't be watching them, so I don't care who wins. The one thing that still drives me insane. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's a disproportionate amount of best pictures to best directors. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, it's a reason they have that. Like, all the other nominations are at 5.
Mm-hmm.
Best picture, they increased because it was the whole thing, the Dark Knight rules. Like, we were tired of movies getting screwed because we were just stuck on 5, so we opened up to get more, and it still hasn't worked. I mean, it's worked a little bit, but still didn't work like the way people thought it worked, because it's kind of like, okay, instead of 5 boring movies, you'll have 7.
they fixed a problem by just not nominating anything that makes money. So problem solved. I mean, look at the reviews for Jungle Book. And again, this is a movie I haven't seen, so I'm basing this basically all off of the creation of the movie and the reviews and how much money it made. Huge money, great reviews. Technically, it sounds. If you have to create an entire world around a boy, a kid that I don't believe ever acted before, to go to that much, they have to be that heralded, and to only get best visual effects, that's snobbery, And that's why these things don't matter. It should at least be nominated. And again, yes, I understand I haven't seen the movie, but just from everything I've heard, read, and been told, I don't get why it's not. Well, I mean, I do understand, because they'd rather see, you know, Mel Gibson blowing up people and by some guy that won't carry a gun, or, you know, some white couple loses their kid, because that movie hasn't been made 20, 30, 40 times this year. So, yep.
Hey, that's why it's called privilege.
Just fucking garbage. Just garbage.
It's nice to have it. I mean, you get to see that same story over and over and over again. It's kind of like when you say, oh, you know, Moonlight has been done plenty of times. Yeah, but normally it stars people who look like you and not like me.
I sat through Precious, so that was enough for me.
Yeah, I'm glad you got through that.
Did you see that?
Of course I want to see that. There's nothing more empowering than seeing a black woman run down the street with a bucket of fried chicken.
Dude, do you understand? I couldn't believe that part. I was already checked out of the movie, but that was just stunningly funny to me.
What's worse? They showed, when they were having the Oscars, that's the clip they showed for that movie. And I'm sitting there, and
why was that on the Oscars? That was not nominated for something.
Yes, it was. She was nominated. The movie was nominated.
Oh, my God.
Monique won. What are you talking about? She won supporting actress for that damn movie.
Yeah, she was a piece of shit in that, so I'll give her that.
Yeah,
so
like...
good for her for winning for that, but that movie was garbage.
Yeah, and that kind of, like, let people, like, you know, Lee Daniels, like, the director's kind of like, yeah, he's one of those sketchy ones. And it's kind of like, if you didn't know then, you know now, like, that new... because he's the guy that made Empire... And then it's this new show. Star? And he basically said, the reason why, it's like on Fox. Like the reason why we made the Star of the show a white woman is because we wanted white people to feel more comfortable to heal, so white people and black people get together. Yes.
Okay. Sure, dude. Keep cashing your checks, man. I'm happy for him. Then
I'm like, if that makes you sleep better at night, and if that sounds better, you go right ahead. But please, but enough of the Oscars. Neither one of us really care that much. No. One probably care a little bit more than others. Kind of like, let's move on to stuff that we really care about and enjoy.
It was nominated. Okay, the idea that Precious was nominated for Best Picture is ridiculous. I'm going to try and let this go, but what other movies were nominated that year? 82nd Academy Awards. All right, hang on a second.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. That was the year that was nominated with Avatar, Blindside. Blindside. Was that Sandra Bullock garbage movie? Okay. Uh-huh. District 9, another disappointment. An Education. Yep. Inglourious Basterds, Precious, Serious Man. Did you ever see A Serious Man?
No.
That was a hard movie to get through.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Up in the Air and Hurt Locker. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's when Hurt Locker won when it shouldn't have. Okay, whatever.
I mean, when people are talking about, all you have to say is Driving Miss Daisy won an Oscar. Malcolm X didn't.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember that. Well, that was because they had Morgan Freeman, Jessica Tan. Yeah, that's what it's. You know where I'm coming from, though. It's like,
you could say Forrest Gump won in a year where Pulp Fiction was.
So
it's kind of like this stuff has happened before, and it's kind of like, you know, or like the one people always bring about, like how the hell did Crash win, and it's kind of like. Mm-hmm. It's a movie I saw. It's kind of like, I thought it was okay. I didn't hate it.
Exactly.
It did not. Some movies age well, and some movies do not age at all. Like, it's like a bad movie, like a year after it won.
No, and you know what the picture for the show is going to be, right? It's going to be old Precious running with her bucket of chicken. So.
No, the hell is not. Please, you're trying to. I thought the point was to have listeners.
I put in Precious fried chicken, and yep, popped right up. But although I did find that, do you watch American Horror Story?
No, I've never watched it.
Okay, well, when her first season, I'm, what's her name, Gabby something or other, right?
Uh huh.
She was on the show as a witch, and she goes back to a flashback. She lived in Detroit, and she was working. She was actually working at a fried chicken joint, kind of like a ode to Precious. And she just buries this guy's face in the fryer. And that was pretty much it. But if you didn't know why she was working at a chicken joint, it would have come off, I think, kind of wrong. But knowing, it worked. So, but speaking of movies that aren't nominated, let's get it. Shahid hit me up. What was it, 2 weeks ago? We were going to do it last week, but Triple X, there was no way we're getting to a Triple X. Out of the blue, Shahid hits me up and says, "Hey, what are your top three 90s action movies?" Doesn't seem like it's that hard until you start digging into it. And I said, can we do five instead? And even five was difficult.
Yeah, I don't know why it came to my mind. I think it just came randomly. And I was thinking, because we talked about how we want to do like different things on the show.
Yeah.
And we both love action movies. We like same type of movies. And I picked the 90s because 70s is too old. You know, the aughts, you know, like the 2010s hasn't finished yet. The 80s is too hard, and the 2000s are too hard.
Which means we're going to have to do those.
Yeah, like, we're going to have to do, like, if, like, 2000s, you have all the comic book movies that count action movies. 80s, like, all you got to do is, you can say Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, and Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, and don't forget RoboCop's in there, too.
Don't even forget, like, RoboCop or Aliens or, like, just thinking like that. Like, yeah, so, or, like, Van Damme and Seagal early stuff. So, I like, the 90s kind of, like, it's the change from old school 80s to, like, the more, it was, like, a change in, like, how action movies almost, like, evolved. Because it went from, like, the Schwarzenegger, big, Stallone, big muscle guys to the more Keanu Reeves and ensemble movies. Yeah. Like, so... Yeah, it was hard. Like, so I said, it was hard for me to do three because two of them were easy. The third one was hard. Making it five made it easy to do five. But I think I have just one honorable mention. You probably have two.
Yeah, I got two.
Yeah, so we'll do our honorable mentions first, and you can do yours first.
Well, my first was Leon the Professional. It was Leon the Professional in France. And overseas, it was The Professional here. But we were kind of going back and forth on whether or not that was an actual action movie or if that was a drama with some action sequences. So, honorable mention, I still love that movie. It's watching Gary Oldman just whacked out of his mind in that movie is the funnest part of it. I know everyone's like, oh, Natalie Portman's first movie. Yeah, whatever. But...
It's three things stand out about that movie because I was thinking about that too. One, Gary Oldman apologizes later, saying like how much he overacted. Like he says he ate too much scenery and he's kind of like ashamed of it. Like not ashamed of the movie, but ashamed of his performance. Two, the amount of people who came off as perverts that talk about lusting after Natalie Portman. I'm like, no, like, she's not a kid that looks like an adult. She's a kid that looks like a damn kid. Like,
well,
yeah.
Remember, there's also that scene in there. Well, Luc Besson did a very weird job of sexualizing her in some places. Like, if she comes out singing like Marilyn Monroe, that was a little weird. And then him, like, their relationship.
Especially the uncut version is like, yeah, their relationship is kind of like, basically like you saying, but yes, I was basically the rule we were thinking is like, it has to have at least three big action scenes to be an action movie.
Yeah.
I think that one has two. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so. Yeah. Cause the first scene's not really an action scene. It's just a murder scene. So yeah. But then, my other one and this is all matter of taste. My other one was True Lies. Because I like the movie. I'll watch it when it's on. But when it comes to the other five I have on my list, it didn't even compare.
I was thinking about that one because it's kind of like that's a movie that's better than people give it credit for.
Yes.
And it's kind of like I think the thing is, one, is because people compare it to Terminator 2 because it's Cameron. It's Cameron and Schwarzenegger. You know, it came out not too much longer after that. I'm like,
I think 2 years after. No, three years after it.
Three years after. Like, you know, and it's a The movie holds, stereotypes aside, the movie holds up. Like, it's an entertaining movie. I watch it every time it comes on, too. So I was thinking about that one. It didn't make it, but I was thinking about mine. And it was funny. The only reason I thought about it is first we were talking about Steven Seagal, like Van Damme. And it's their funny thing is, like, their great movies tend to be in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Their more successful movies tend to be in the 90s. And Under Siege was the one I picked from honorable mention. That's a very good movie. Not like just a good, like, Steven Seagal movie. Like, and I think that is the main difference between Seagal and Van Damme back then. I've always thought, like, Van Damme was the better action star, but Seagal did better movies. Like, he fits with, like, you think of, like, the cast, and you got Tommy Lee Jones and Gary Busey before Gary Busey went crazy. he fits. Like, he doesn't seem out of place. Like, he's hanging with him. It's not this whole, like, I'm a big, because the thing with Seagal all the time seemed like he was always a big fish in a small pond. Like, he had to be he never lost a fight. He got all the cool lines and stuff. And, like, and in this one, like, he's in it a lot, but they spend a good chunk of the movie on, like, Tommy Lee Jones and Gary Busey. And, like, the action hangs up. I think it's the same director that did The Fugitive. So, like, the action holds up. His acting holds up. Like, he didn't seem out of place like Van Damme seemed. Like, Van Damme now is a better actor than he used to be. But Van Damme back then would have seemed out of place when you put him around, like, big-name actors. Because it just would have seemed like it didn't match.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, you're right. It was Andrew Davis directed it. Fun fact about Under Siege, that was nominated for 2 Academy Awards. Sound and something else, so...
Yeah, like, it's a lot, it's funny, like, I hadn't watched it in a while, so I didn't know if it's funny where Under Siege 2 is the worst movie, but that was the one that was the one I enjoyed more, because it was, like, more straightforward, like, and it was just shorter, and it was just quicker, so you can watch that and, like, knock that in, like, a good hour and a half. Under Siege seemed like sometimes it dragged, but that movie's a better movie than the first one, and it stood up a lot better than I thought I did, but had I not seen it, had we not talked about it, had not came on like recently, I wouldn't have thought about it. But that's my honorable mention. Because really, the only one I was thinking above is The Fugitive, but that's more a drama with action and not an action movie. Because otherwise, I would flip-flop the two of them because.
Well, we didn't discuss this part. How do we want to do this? Just say our five or?
No, you go one, then I go one.
All right. So, and this is in no particular order, because, well, the bottom, I guess, doesn't really matter. The bottom three are kind of interchangeable to me. I've got Last Boy Scout, because I love Tony Scott movies, and this was such a raw... No one is a good person in this movie. The mom sucks, the daughter sucks, Bruce Willis sucks, Damon Wayne sucks. Halle Berry is maybe okay, but everybody sucks. They're all terrible people in this movie. I can't believe this got made.
I mean, it was during that time. It was like Shane Black, like that, and Long Kiss Goodnight.
Ugh,
it was like around that time where it's kind of like, yeah, we're going to basically, you like John McClane. What if he was a dirtball? Yeah. Are you still going to like him? Because it's funny where that movie has a heart, but you got to dig real deep to get to it because there's just a lot of scuzz and unlikability. Yeah, I thought about that one.
But see, I think that's why I like that movie, though. It's because even like we were talking about the one movie, I like these dirty, like challenging, like borderline. Now they'd be offensive. Back then, I was like, whatever. But I like those movies, and I like the shades of gray. And you know, it kind of gives you the happy ending in a weird way. So that's why it made the list. I'll watch it every time it's on. Plus, a young Halle Berry doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
And
my one is, and I had to think about it for a while, and I would say, let me make sure if it's the Tom criteria. Okay, yeah. Blade. That's mine, and it just made it because it was 90, like, Blade 2 came out 2002, so I couldn't pick that one. So, yeah, Blade, definitely, because it was 98, and I watch those first two movies whenever they come on. Like, it's I know we both of us have talked about this movie, and we both talked about how much we enjoyed it. We also talked about how it's kind of like, it's funny, for a movie that's talked about like a cult favorite, it still seems like it's slept on. Like, people don't realize if Blade wasn't successful, no hyperbole, we may not have comic movies in 2000.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of like, yeah.
X-Men was next, wasn't it?
Yeah, X-Men came out later, and then, you know, the last one people thought about was like Batman and Robin. And so it's like you had Blade, and then you had X-Men, and then you had Spider-Man, and then it was on.
Yeah.
And then, like, you had, and then like Batman came back, and like, it's funny where, yeah, because Batman came back, and then Iron Man was a thing. So that all-star related. Like, it's funny where that's a, you talking about like art, like, you know, movies they don't make anymore. That's an R-rated comic action movie starring a, you know, a no-name character with Wesley Snipes, with the origin story lasting 35 seconds. Mm-hmm. And really, it's like basically character actor, because there's no other, like, you know, big actor names. I mean, Stephen Dorff. And Kris Kristofferson, you know, and that's it.
Like, wasn't that like a comeback movie for Kris Kristofferson as well?
Yeah, like,
because he's been in anything.
Yeah, he did that, and then I think he was in like Payback, like, because of that. Because I remember that came out too, and that was one where I treated more like a drama, not an action movie.
Oh, is that the Mel Gibson one?
That's the Mel Gibson.
Yes,
one.
Yes, I actually had that on my initial list.
Yeah. And I do guilty pleasure movies. So that's why I picked Blade, kind of like, for so much that it did. And then it was just because it's just an awesome, cool movie. Like, period. Like, we talked about it when we talked about Triple X. It's a difference between actors that get trained to do martial arts and actors who happen to be martial artists. Like, the actionist tends to be better. And, like, people tend to figure, like, Wesley Snipes is a real-life martial artist that just has to be also be a classically trained actor. Yeah, I didn't, like, you wouldn't, like, Denzel learned martial arts later, but you wouldn't think of, like, oh, yeah, you know, Will Smith's a 6th-degree black belt in Kung Fu. Like, how weird would that be? Yeah, Wesley Snipes is, like, a 5th-6th-degree black belt in multiple martial arts.
I think Blade also is underappreciated, because the way that movie starts, it's in that club, and you're like, all right, Blade, you don't really know what's going on. You know, it's a Wesley, you know, Wesley Snipes is in it. And anyone who says, oh, I knew Blade, yeah, no, maybe, this is before it was cool to be a nerd, you know, that sort of thing, where it was like the really hardcore people knew who Blade was. Then there were the rest of us who were like, oh, it's a Wesley Snipes movie, I'll go, and he's a vampire, or I'll go see it. That movie starts off in the club, all of a sudden blood starts pouring out of the sprinklers, they start destroying anybody who's not a vampire, then he comes in and starts murdering everybody.
Yeah.
And this is like the first 10 minutes of the movie, like, what are we watching?
And it's like, the internet wasn't as big as it is now, no. So it's kind of like, so I remember seeing it, it's like, this is some, yeah. Like,
it
I don't remember
if I saw
that. It was
a shocking beginning, which made the movie, like, even better.
I'm trying to remember if I saw that in a movie theater, or if I saw it on, like, cable or DVD.
DVD. Because it was one of the first DVDs. Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember, because it was like 98, that was... God damn. Like, 19 years ago.
Yeah.
Good God. Like,
yeah, you know how January's gone by so fast?
Funny where you don't think about that. Like, I didn't realize it was that long ago until I did the calculations. Because it's like, I remember seeing, up until like the 2000s, it's a lot of movies I remember seeing, but I don't necessarily remember where I saw them at. Like, it's some I remember seeing in the movie theaters, some I remember on HBO, it's some on DVD, but like Blade, I do not remember if I saw it in a movie theater first or if I saw it on, like, HBO first. But, yeah, that's one of my five. That's at the bottom of the five, but it made it in.
Yeah. My next one's Point Break, which I consider this an action movie because of all the stunts. And, well, one, you know, the big stunts. They're diving out of planes. They're shooting guns. My favorite scene, one of my favorite movie scenes, taking the gasoline pump, lighting it on fire, and using it as a blowtorch. That never gets old. And I think that was one of the first movies I've ever seen that in. And then you got a young Keanu Reeves, who's the cop that used to be a badass, and then just kind of isn't anymore, which you didn't see very often, because he was basically, I mean, you know, he gets the girl, but it was Lori Petty, so All right.
Ouch.
Yeah, well, you know, taste aside, he got Lori Petty. And then, you know, trying to run with, you know, Patrick Swayze and his group, who are always one step ahead of him. And he doesn't really win. Even in the end, when he has Patrick Swayze, he still has that, like, crisis of conscience, excuse me, at the end. And lets him commit suicide, essentially, instead of taking him to jail. Because they're friends. And it was like, nothing had really been seen like that. It was the precursor, which is funny to say, in 1991 when this came out, this was a precursor to all the extreme movement.
Not only like, that, you know what else? You know that character precursor to Fast and Furious.
Yes, yeah, I think that.
Because that's basically Paul Walker's thing. It's kind of like you think about that movie. Like he left some go at the end.
Yeah,
and it's and that movie kind of started that whole. And it's funny you picked the Keanu Reeves, like that whole action hero with like a conscious action hero with a heart, because. Him and Speed, and him and another one that's probably on both of our lists is kind of like Keanu was that different action star that we didn't have before. And I was thinking about Point Break. It's funny where I didn't see the remakes or whatever. The original one, I've watched bits and pieces of it. I've never watched it from beginning to end, but I know what's going on in the movie because I think I've watched it enough to like jump in. I always laugh at like, you know, the story behind it, Gary Busey doing Gary Busey things, because this you think about that Under Siege and Predator 2 were all like around the same time, and he's got that manic energy before he just went over the rails. So, yeah, and like it's funny where that Catherine Bigelow did that, like yes. You know, so yeah, that counts as an action movie because Brief will bring it up as an action movie.
Yeah, and
so.
But it was something that I would never really seen. I mean, people jumping out of planes with cameras, you know, that sort of thing. That was such a surprise. And really, it was also, when was Dirty Dancing? Was that was before this? Yeah. That was in 89, 88. So it was right around, because Roadhouse was 87, I think.
When did Ghost come out? 90. So
you know what, and I don't. This is no sarcasm. People don't understand the important movies Patrick Swayze was actually in. And I know it's I know I just I'm,
yeah like
hey Ghost was a huge movie. Dirty Dancing. People still watch that movie. That movie sucks. But it's funny because it still it has a classic elements of like classism, you know. The upper crust, the lower crust, a whole like weird society of people, and then you got Roadhouse, which, you know, outside of maybe the Expendables or Predator, there it couldn't have been any more of a guy's movie. I mean, he was in Red Dawn, which I'll watch every time that movie's on.
He's in Next to Kin.
Yeah, it just keeps going.
It's funny, him and a young Liam Neeson. Like, when I think of those actors, I think of him, Kevin Bacon, and Kurt Russell as, like, people who don't get the credit they deserve. It's kind of like, you don't really think about how much they've done, how successful they've done, because they've been around so long. Especially, like, Kurt Russell, until you delve deep.
Yeah.
Like... It's like Kevin
Bacon. No, go ahead, Chris.
I think it's more because they've never been the guy, and they've been around so long. Where it's like that whole Morgan Freeman thing. It's like, oh, I'm just used to seeing them in the thing, and then you delve deep into careers. Like they've done a lot of stuff, like a lot of big stuff, a lot of small stuff that a lot of people like for a long ass time. Like Kurt Russell was a star. He did big movies in the 80s. He did big movies in the 90s. He was doing movies and too, like, you know, he was just in, what's that movie? The Quentin Tarantino movie, Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
And he's in The Fast and Furious.
Thank
and
you.
Guardians. Like, he's still working. And he's still looking, you know, handsome, rugged Kurt, you know, Kurt Russell. Like, that's the thing. Like, Kevin Bacon is still working. And rest in peace, Patrick Swayze. Like, it's funny where, I think it's that whole... people kind of brush off the 80s because they do the same thing with Demi Moore because like, oh, she don't do anything now. I'm like, she was a big deal when she was out for like a while. So you kind of brush aside where if you're not number one, people don't remember number three. It's kind of how that thing is.
Yeah. Well, didn't Demi Moore, I know we're getting sidetracked, but didn't Demi Moore's career kind of go off the rails when she had, like, some body issues, didn't she? Wasn't she fighting, like, some sort of eating disorders, that sort of thing? And then it turned into, like, mental disorder? I'm being honest with this. There was something that derailed her.
Yeah. I don't know if it was just time or bad choices, because I know, because it was like A Few Good Men, G.I. Jane, I think, you know, Striptease Bomb.
Didn't help. Yeah.
But then, you know, she was fine in Charlie's Angels. And then, like, after that, like, the sequel, then after that, it was kind of like...
Well, see, I thought Charlie's Angels was her big return.
Yeah, but, like, after that, she returned and then didn't come... After that, boom, she returned and vanished. So, and it's tough being a woman and a sex symbol in Hollywood once you start getting old.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know, so unless you're like Meryl Streep or you're like old, you're going to get frozen out the paint.
All right. So what's your next one?
My next one is Face Off. Yeah. That movie could never be made now. Like,
well,
I mean, or if it would have been made, it'd be on like Netflix or something like that.
Because
It's like, it's batshit insane that somebody did it with a straight face. And if you look at, you know, the cast, like they want to do Stallone and Schwarzenegger, they want to do Douglas and Harrison Ford. Like they were trying to figure out, and just picture how the movie would be if you had, like, you know, it wouldn't work. And one, I picked it because, you know, it's John Woo doing his Hollywood thing. Like, he's trying to get his feet wet. Like, he did Hard Target, which was, it's like, for me, it's like Van Damme's, my second favorite Van Damme movie is Hard Target. Just, be, you know, how, just because it is. Broken Arrow, which is almost seemed like a, Broken Arrow almost seemed like a practice for this one. Like, you know, I'm gonna learn how to do Hollywood style with my own stuff. And then once I get my feet wet, I'm gonna do Face Off. It's Nicolas Cage in the peak of right when he's getting like Nicolas Cage crazy. Like, it's funny where, like, it's funny now you think of Nicolas Cage now like the guy that does a zillion Netflix movies, and it's kind of like he has to work to pay off tax bills because he bought Superman issue 1 and a castle and had bad accounts.
yeah, I laugh like at that only because it's the absolute truth.
So it's around this time where, like, he shows up in Tomb of Mummy, like around this time where Nicolas Cage became an action star. It seems like quaint now, but that was weird because he didn't. You think about, like, him or Travolta didn't seem like act. Like, Travolta maybe a little bit because Travolta, like, you dance, that takes athleticism, and you can kind of, like, maybe trick yourself into it. Like, Nicolas Cage action star, because I remember Nicolas Cage sounded seemed weird until it happened, and he just jumped into it. And it's like this, and Con Air, like, this is just a better movie because they have better actors. And 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. Just think about that.
For Face Off? Is that for people or critics?
No, Face Off, critics.
Wow, that's surprising. Yeah.
I mean, it's this movie where people had this idea like, oh, it's so bad, it's good. Like, no. This was a good movie that made a lot of money. It just has that reputation because the storyline is just batshit crazy, and all the little stuff like John Travolta does rubbing his son's face, and Gina Gershon tongue kissing her brother, and it's a lot of stuff going on in this damn movie. And the two things I like is one, it's hard talking about the movie without spending a lot of time.
Yeah.
One, I like that fact that Joan Allen is a love interest like John Travolta, because that seemed realistic. Like, they were around the same age. They would seem like they would really be married to each other. You don't see that in movies. Like, usually it'd be somebody like 15 years younger. Like, it's the love interest, something like that. Because, like, I think Entrapment came out, and it was Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones. And yeah, they are nowhere close in age at all, but they're trying to pull, like, I know Sean Connery was hot back in the day, and it's funny saying that considering she's married to Michael Douglas, who's not a spring chicken.
Yeah, I was
himself.
Gonna say, well, yeah, that's kind of close in age.
Yeah,
Sean
but
Connery.
You don't. Yeah, but the whole thing is like, you know, how she didn't realize that she's sleeping with a man that's not a husband because the face is the same. It's like,
yeah.
Or is everything like, okay, the height?
Did they change everything?
No. See, I'm like, they made a big thing saying, like, they changed the weight, like, they did lipo and they shaved and stuff like that, the hairline, and everything like that. But they aren't the same height. And are they, I'm like, are they the same everywhere? It's kind of like, you don't know, or. So
this movie would have worked better if it was a Hong Kong flick, because some of the storylines in those are so damn goofy.
But here's the thing: it is. It just has an American cast.
True.
That's exactly what Face Off is. It's something that you would see on Netflix now, like a Hong Kong movie. It just happened to have big time American stars and had a big ass budget. Like that's why it stands out so much, because they don't make movies like this anymore. That's like, you know, Hollywood type movies, and it's a reason for that. And it's kind of like, you know, when people complain about comics, my main thing is, well, what did they take from? I didn't care about seeing like Michael Douglas doing Michael Douglas dramas, or, you know, those type of movies, like Harrison Ford and Paul Bettany dramas. Like, okay, we don't get those anymore. I do miss movies like Face Off and like The Gone in 60 Seconds and those type of action movies. Because now
you're kind of getting some. You just got to find them, which is the bad thing.
Well, yeah, it's like you either find them or when they make them, no one sees them. Like Two Guns, like a good example is like Two Guns, Denzel, Mark Wahlberg, where it did well, but if that came out in the 90s, it would have made like $200 million. Yeah. Or like when Stallone did Bullet to the Head, or when Schwarzenegger did The Last Stand, or when they did Escape Plans, like. People complain that they don't make those movies anymore, but when they make those movies, you don't see them. So it's like a chicken and egg thing.
Well, it's funny you said that, because my next one, at the time, had the biggest budget for a movie, depending on the source. And also, there was a remake that was a catastrophic failure, and that would be Total Recall. Funny thing is, I actually watched this last night. This movie is still great. And there's so many different layers to this thing that I didn't pick up on, like, you know, when you're young. I don't think I got it. I just saw it as a straight action movie. Instead of the mindfuck this thing turns into. Like, one of the things you remember about this movie? The chick with three titties.
Yeah. You know, I feel bad. It should be on my list. Oh. And no, because the whole thing is... I'm trying to think, like, why did I leave it off? I don't know if I... Because it's an action movie.
Qualified as sci-fi?
I mean, that might have been it, because I think we talked about it, like...
I can't remember now. Huh.
Paul Verhoeven been playing practical jokes on Americans for a long-ass time.
Yes.
And I think people are just realizing, like, they've been duped. And it's kind of... I feel the same way as you, because I'm just... It's different, because we talked about that with RoboCop. We definitely talked with Starship Troopers. It's kind of like, you know... you watch a one movie, you think it's just a straightforward action movie or straightforward sci-fi, and then you get older and you realize like the stuff behind the scenes, how he grew up and the satire stuff. It's like, oh no, it's deep stuff going on. It's like body horror stuff going on with Schwarzenegger. You got a whole, you know, Sharon Stone looking, oof. Like, yeah, she. It's. I think people
Sharon
forget
Stone
how.
Was
I forget people
movie.
Forget how gorgeous she was for a long. Like, she looks decent now in like 2017, but like from like the 90s up until early 2000s, she was just. I don't want to sound like a pig. She was like a damn smoke box. Like
she was. No, that's
yeah. Like
she was
hot. Like in the and she like embraced being like she knew she was hot. She embraced being hot. It was funny where the other girl, Rachel Tickerton, is not ugly. But she gets, like, it's hard to notice her with Sharon Stone there. You know, Michael Ironside and Ronnie Cox.
Yep.
Like, you know, bad guy Hall of Fame. It's funny, like, depending on how your age, you either think of Ronnie Cox as the good guy because you remember him from Beverly Hills Cop 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Or you remember him being a villain from RoboCop, this, and Star Trek The Next Generation being a dickhead on there. So, like, yeah, that... Total Recall definitely holds up. Like, I'm still wondering, is he dreaming? Did that really happen? Like, you know, I've heard some people leave it ambiguous. Some people like assume no, he was dreaming. Some people say it's real life. That's the fact where you watch the movie and you don't realize like this did it better than Inception did, basically. And you kind of, it's funny, like, thinking about that, where I didn't compare the two until we start talking about it. And this did this first, and this did it better, but nobody really thought about as much as they did with Inception, because they didn't beat you over the head with it, apparently. So, yeah, but it definitely holds, like, the action holds up, and that says a lot, considering it came out early 90s. And,
yeah, 91.
And you know the weird thing is? I remember 90, watching a remake. Yeah, I remember watching a remake, and the main thing I said is, they sucked all the fun out. Like, they just did it. The only person that was having fun in that movie was Kate Beckinsale. Yeah. Being a villain bitch, like, everybody else was just playing it too boring. I'm like,
it was a serious movie.
Yeah, I'm like, you gotta have fun. Like, even they played, like, the girl with three breasts. They just played it off like, we're just gonna have her because you remember her.
Yeah. No, watching it last night, a couple things stood out to me. One, I forgot how violent it was. I mean, some of the things that you remember, obviously, the three titties, him pulling the tracker out of his nose. Mm-hmm. Which is still, I mean, this goes to my third point. Nothing has stood out to me in this movie is the effects hold up fairly well. Yeah, there's some clunky stuff in there just because of how advanced we've gotten stuff now. But seeing like the animatronics, like the robot, the animatronics, when he takes off the fat lady head and the way it's coming apart, I mean, that's all real effects. That's not CGI. Was that Rick Baker, maybe even Stan Winston, that did the effects for this stuff. So watch it, and they had like sweeping shots of Mars that were really ahead of where some action movies were at this point.
Well, so, that's the beauty of when you do with animatronics and practical effects. Mm-hmm. They age better than CGI, yeah, because it's just the nature of the fact where, like, computers look janky and animatronics look animatronic. Like, you know, Alien and Aliens still hold up because it's like, we do as real as possible because we don't have a choice, and that stuff tends to have weight, and like, you see stuff and I think we've talked about all the time where special effects have gotten so good with computers where you kind of lose track, like, what's real and what's not, because even like, people think about, well, do the real stuff and look, but I'm like, the real stuff costs more too, and the real stuff is harder to do. Like, you know, it's easy to pull up a MacBook Pro than we're gonna fly up, you know, a car out of a plane and have it land with a parachute in real life. Like, that's not easy. Like, I sent you the link when they was talking about the whole skit, XXX, when they skiing down the mountain. Like, they said that took like weeks for like a 30-second thing, and they had professionals doing that, like, really doing that. And it's kind of like, you wouldn't even think that. Like, at first, if I didn't know anybody, I'm like, okay, ain't nobody really doing all that. But then you count out, like, no, we gonna really do that? Like, if we're gonna do it right, because I guess Vin is kind of like that, and it was his idea. They say, you know, he thinks of cool things and asks if we can do it or not, because he's just a big old nerd. And it's just related to, like, how Total Recall, like, Paul Verhoeven movies, he does not skimp from violence, because RoboCop was violent, Starship Troopers is violent,
Basic Instinct, I mean, when Sharon Stone, not Sharon Stone, is ice picking people. Mm-hmm. And then Hollow Man as well.
Yeah, I was about to bring up Hollow Man. So, like, yeah, he doesn't skimp from violence. I think that's the whole thing. It's kind of like, his violence is so over the top where, I don't know, it's not desensitized, because it's borderline cartoony. Like, it's almost cartoony, but it's not. But it's still kind of like, you just watching, like, oof. Like, you just kind of feel it. Yeah.
Wow. Yours? Because we're going to be here all night if we keep.
Yeah. My next one is, I think, in my opinion, Michael Bay's best movie. I think it's the most 90s action movie in the 90s, and one of my favorite movies, period, is The Rock. Like, I just think it's not my number one, but I think it's almost a borderline perfect, like, 90s action movie. Which is why I will never disparage or lose faith on Michael Bay. If he never makes anything good, and he's never made anything else, that's the man that made The Rock. Like, that's just an awesome movie. Like, it's a perfect length. It's just, you got a line of just grown men doing grown men things. And that's one of the first action movies where the villain is sympathetic. And they don't have to make a whole lot of effort to do it. Like, you almost... It's funny where you could easily see yourself rooting for Ed Harris, like, real easy. Mm-hmm. And the only reason you kind of don't is because Sean Connery and Nicholas, especially Sean Connery, like, no, him being an old badass was just awesome. And then him and Nicolas Cage is one of my favorite movie, like, couples. Because who would have thought that? Because Nicolas Cage is Mr., you know, it's funny where, like, this Face Off and Con Air all around the same time.
Yeah.
And they're, like, three completely different roles. But it's like this one, he's a, like, a science nerd. He doesn't like guns. He doesn't curse. He's, like, nervous and stuff and everything. Like, he's a, like, a dork, basically. Like, it's funny, like, you wouldn't think like that. Like, you could see Keanu Reeves doing that. I couldn't picture Nicolas Cage doing it, but it just matched because, you know, Sean Connery walking around like James Bond out of retirement, like, balls swinging with a gun. I know how to do everything. Where, to the fact, like, Michael Biehn, Mr. Action Man from the 80s, is, like, on the sideline watching. Like, you got him, you got David Morse, William Forsythe, you got all these old characters. Tony Todd with that Tony Todd voice. And my favorite line from the movie, like, near the end of the movie, when they're talking about, you know, how come we're not getting our money and everything like that, it's like, you know, we're soldiers. He's like, no, we are not soldiers. Like, the moment we took hostages, we became mercenaries, and mercenaries get paid. I want my fucking money. Like, and I laugh, it's on the line, come on, because it's kind of like the bad guys get turned on by worse guys, so you end up rooting for him. And it's like, it's just the action holds up. Like, Michael Bay knows his. He didn't use a whole. It's before he got in love with slow mo, so yeah, wasn't a lot of slow mo in this.
You
one.
Can see it coming, though.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was something in there, but it wasn't like beat you over the head with. It's kind of like, this was peak Michael Bay, where it was most of his good qualities and not a lot of his bad stuff. Like, it had some of the goofy humor, but it had a minimum. Yeah. Like, most of the jokes, like, you know, it wasn't like the character jokes that he does, like, caricature jokes that he kind of does now. So, like, right when Michael Bay was, like, hot Michael, you know, up and coming Michael Bay, before he became what he is now.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned favorite lines in a movie. Total Recall's got one, and I'll use it in regular, you know, regular life. And it's not so much what it's what's said, it's the timing of, like, it's the character's frustration finally gets validated, and then the passion he delivers it is when Michael Ironside is going to the boss. He's been trying to kill Schwarzenegger the entire movie. He's told not to, and he's like, bring him in. Ronnie Cox, you know, bring him in. And he goes, all right, take him out. Michael Ironside looks at him and he goes, it's about goddamn time.
I remember
clicks
that
his
line.
Gun and just walks out. And it's like, he's going to kill the hero of the movie, but there's a sort of like, oh, okay, he's finally getting what he wanted. And it, plus, I love, again, no sarcasm, I love Michael Ironside.
Well, I do too. So, and that's, I was thinking about that too, because the whole movie is like, he thinks he's doing the right thing. He getting dicked around. He's chasing this guy. They're like, you can't kill him. I thought, you're not, like, don't think, I don't give you enough information to think you do that. Like,
yes,
everybody basically talking down to him. His girlfriend gets, like, his hot-ass girlfriend gets killed, and he still can't do anything. So it's kind of like, yeah, enough's enough at this point. Like, I know that's your buddy. Y'all used to play chess and all that, but,
yeah,
like, let's get it on. So, right. Yeah.
Well, I we're going to share one of the last ones. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of Michael Ironside and Paul Verhoeven, Starship Troopers. I didn't know if you were going to have this one or not. I know my last one we both share, so I'm just going to save it. I watched Starship Troopers again just last Friday. I love this movie. I loved it when I first saw it. It drives me insane when people don't like the movie. They don't get the movie, and I want to throttle them half the time.
It's people who still don't get it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, even watching it again, it's funny how, like, Verhoeven used a lot of the same kind of things. Like RoboCop, they had the newscast. In this, it was, do you want to know more? Total Recall even had little advertisements that would pop up here and there. You know, even like scenes that seemingly didn't have anything to do with it. But there was always some sort of social commentary in there. And this one is right. And watching it now, it still applies.
Yeah, it firefies more now.
Yep.
It's funny, like,
yeah, I'll give you
depending
that,
on
yeah.
when you watch this movie, like, if you watched it in, because when I first watched it, I just thought of, like, an action movie, like, an awesome action movie, when I was, like, in my teens. I think it wasn't until when I watched, like, the 2000s, I'm like, hold up. Like, I felt like, you know, I got a fast one pulled on me, because I'm watching this, and I'm like, why is Doogie Howser dressed like a Nazi? And I didn't, and the funny thing is, when I saw when I was younger, I'm like, oh, he looked like a badass, like he's smart with the black coat and everything like that. And then, but when I got older, I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
The humans aren't the good guys. Like, if you, I'm like, nobody in these movies are the, you know, and they talking like, what's the difference between a citizen and a civilian? Like, a citizen stands up for a right to fight for his right to freedom. And if you don't pick up a gun, you're a pussy. And da-da-da-da-da. And yeah, we knew you were gonna die. We sent you in anyway, cause it's like it's my job. I send hundreds of people to die all the time cause of numbers. Like they got more, so tough shit.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, it was the fear part. Like there's a very distinct part in this movie where they discuss philosophy, and it was the reporter on the scene saying, "Well, some think that our attacks in their sector have caused them to attack us in response." Mm-hmm. Something like that. And that's an argument being made nowadays.
Yeah. And you know the response is like, you're trying to tell me these bugs have a brain? Are they thinking? Mm-hmm. I find that idea repulsive.
Yeah.
Think about how that would translate to the Middle East, because a lot of people feel that way about them. And yep. that says a lot.
And then there was also, in the same scene, Rico interrupts him and says, what about the people who were just, what about the innocent people of Buenos Aires? Who are minding their own business. And the guy, of course, I mean, and that's always something that gets said too. And again, this was made in 97. Mm-hmm. And then you have the commercials, like, we have the power, we have the might, we have to win, we will win. Like,
mm-hmm.
every like, propaganda sort of poster, and at the end with Nazi Doogie Howser, like, gets the bug and he goes, he's afraid. And it's like, yes, that's a mentality that you want them to know.
Yeah.
Like, it's never actually proven that he's psychic in this movie. He just says he is.
I think he showed something. When he was doing his test, like in the beginning, like he showed like he had some. He showed like something that he knew. So, but it's kind of like maybe he is. You don't know the extract of it. It's kind of like if you're a little and everyone's got none, you can exaggerate as much as you can. Mm-hmm. So, but it's funny where. That movie came out, and then 9/11 happened. Like, had that movie came out after 9/11, it's no
the reaction would have been made. Not the way it was.
Mm. People would be like, "What kind of liberal crap is this?" With the idea would have. But it's fun. Like, even when it came out, and then 9/11 happened, I think some people start noticing it. But like you say, even now, some people that like, I don't get it, or something like that. Like when you look at like the acting, like. They act that way for a reason. Like those people, like Denise Richards and Casper Van Dien, was cast to be those faces, like on purpose.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. So, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you.
Like when the accident, and we like to joke around like the whole thing, like Dizzy, and it's funny. Like you think of Denise Richards and Dinah Meyer. Like back then, Denise Richards was just Miss It Thing. What's the movie she was in with?
Wild Things.
Mm-hmm. And then somehow they thought she'd be a Bond girl. It's fun. Like, and Dinah Meyer was
Christmas
just, oh,
something. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Dinah Meyer, she's this old cute thing like that. Yeah, Dinah Meyer won. And it's funny, like, watching that movie in hindsight, like, at first you could understand Rico, but you watch it now, it's like, Rico's an idiot. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. You watch it now, and he is it's brought in the movie, but he's just a puppy dog in this movie. Like, please pay attention to me, tell me you love me. Come on, just try it once. Like, what are you doing? You're like the captain of the football team or something or whatever game they're playing. Why are you begging this chick? You got a girl that's basically throwing panties at you. Let alone who knows who else in this. Well, maybe I'm looking at it from the wrong perspective in this, but he could have gotten anybody. And he is the dumb jock, which is even funnier.
Not only that, like, he only joins the military because she joined.
Exactly.
And
and
she's there, like, I'm trying to do a career. I'm trying to be something special. And, I mean, if it work, it work. If it don't, it don't. She kind of like, you know what? This is high school stuff. when we grow up and get to, like, you know, the pros, more than likely I'm gonna leave you in the dust. And she knows that, and he's still thinking like, oh, maybe stuff will work and that. Realize like, kind of like, they are not in each other's league. You got this girl that's just as hot, love, you know, she would give you whatever you want. And your coworker, like, she's just so weird like that. You pining over this bro, like, yeah.
And then you've got a Michael Ironside cameo, not cameo, character in it, who, when Rico, who's the voice of reason in the movie? Michael Ironside. Don't pass up a good thing that's right in front of you. So what do? He finally gets to bang out with Diz, and they have to get called on orders. So what's Teach do? Make it 20 minutes.
That's right.
And so it still has, like, that action movie trope to it, to where, like, the old movie's like, nah, make sure you get some pussy first. Which, actually, in this, and I have to take that back. It's, yeah, you guys get some. Because that was the other thing that was kind of ahead of its time, was the gender quality of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've got women playing this goofy football game, which is pretty funny. And that's, yeah, it doesn't hold up. But
no, you know what's funny about that? That plays into a part, that little goofy fall game foreshadows like three different scenes in the movie, because it foreshadows when they're in training.
Yeah, and that, both training part, that's like, okay. So
not only that, and then the part where you mess around with the helmet and the guy gets shot and he getting whipped. Then it foreshadows when the whole bug thing, and he throws the ball, like, you know, where'd you learn that from? Like, you know, school, sir. I was captain of the team.
Yeah.
And then you finally realize who's that is. Like, yeah, Michael Ironside is awesome in that movie. Him and Clancy Brown. Like, they are both all, like,
oh my God, that's right. Yes, the private. And then another propaganda thing about how it was with Private Brown or something, you know, saved the day. It was like, okay, sure.
This 50-year-old man. It's funny where it's kind of like these old men put down their school books and put down the training books and they jumped into it to show these young boys how to do it. Yeah. Like, yeah.
All right. Well, we're getting running up on time. So, what's yours? I can talk about Starship Troopers for an entire show. So,
okay, mine was Terminator 2.
That was a rough one to leave off. I thought you said that was sci-fi.
I mean,
whatever. I mean, said Starship Troopers on there.
Yeah, we did. So, exactly. Like, yeah. Total Recall and Starship Troopers both on the list. I'm like, that's the first big blockbuster, like, sci-fi action movie. Like, that's the first one they talked about the budget being big. Like, that's the second one after, you know, that's like the first movie, or I think maybe second movie behind Batman, where it's kind of like, it was just everything. Everybody talked about that movie. Like, that movie. And that's kind of, when we're talking about, like, you know, who adds stuff, and like James Cameron, thing like that, people, I know it's funny, like, the look, you know, the look past the BS. James Cameron is a visionary. Like, he's done a lot of stuff for, like, everything. And, you know, Aliens, enough said. Like, that, the whole, we're going to get a whole bunch of cool Marines, a cool soldier thing. It's a stereotype now. It's a movie trope now. It's a movie trope because of Aliens. Yeah. Like, that was not known until, like, he did it. That wasn't probably why he did it. And, like, it's amazing how all the stuff that happened and, like, all the computer graphics, and we talked about how CGI sometimes don't hold up. That CGI holds up. I have no clue how it still looks the way it looks better than a lot of stuff that's out now.
Didn't he go back and touch it up, like, 10 years later?
I don't know, because I watched I watched it when it come on cable, and, like, that's one of the movies, like, that and the number one movie shares. Like, when you have a dope video system, a sound system, and you want to show it off, throw on Terminator 2. Like, yeah. and it's one thing, it's kind of like, it takes an old story, like, you know, Arnold was known as, like, you know, the robotic badass. So, one, taking this, one of the best villains in the 80s, and making him a hero was, like, wow, because people that wasn't like stuff that people did, you know, the whole thing, like, Linda Hamilton being a badass.
That's what I wanted to talk about, actually.
Yeah, like, that wasn't, you know, Sigourney Weaver did Aliens, but she was kind of like, you know, I'm thrown into a situation, I gotta survive. Linda Hamilton was kicking ass. Like,
no, you're thinking of Aliens. Sigourney Weaver was way more aggressive than that.
But it wasn't until, I mean, she was aggressive, but her whole thing is kind of like, you know, first, I don't even want to be there. Yeah. And it's like, you know, yeah, I'm aggressive, like I'm driving a truck. Like, I'm aggressive, like, you know, I'm gonna save myself so I don't get, you know, murdered. But it's not like till the end till she pick up a gun and yeah. start doing gun stuff. Like, Linda Hamilton from Jump Street is just like, you know,
yeah.
Everybody think I'm insane, but when the robots come back, I'm gonna be ready. You know,
isn't the way they introduced Linda Hamilton? She's doing pull-ups in her cell, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, and right there, but again, like, but maybe this is a James Cameron thing. Well, maybe Jamie Lee Curtis wasn't the greatest example of this, but Sigourney Weaver, pretty strong. Linda Hamilton, he was like, screw it, let's amp this thing up. They got married from this movie, I believe, because he married Linda Hamilton, so I don't know if it was because of the movie or not, but she, like, a strong female lead. I mean, bossing everybody around. She's going to murder the guy from
Cyberdyne.
Thank you. Yeah, Miles Dyson. Yeah, Robotech. Miles, like, I don't know yeah. where that came from.
Miles Dyson. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Oh, that, real quick, the Starship Troopers, that also had a Seth Gilliam.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up. Yeah, I'm like, that's how we got Seth Gilliam. Yeah. Like,
but no, it's so Terminator 2, I just left it off my list. Yeah, that was also gave us Robert Patrick too for a
while. And there's another thing, because it's kind of like, just think of the, compare like the first one, like, you know, Schwarzenegger is like this big bad villain and Michael Biehn's this wiry crazy soldier guy, and it's like you're getting chased around by this monster robot. Think about the second one, you got big bad Schwarzenegger running from Robert Patrick.
Yeah,
but it's believable because Robert Patrick is like, I ain't messing with him. Like, he barely has any lines, and he's just menacing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's funny. Like, you don't think about it now, because it's like, almost like, it's he's old. It's a cliche thing. But, yeah, Terminator 2 is like,
if Arnold wanted, it's set off movies going forward. For CGI, especially.
Yeah. And that's why I put it on. It's kind of like, it's simple and cliche, but it's like that for a reason. It's like, it made the money it made. It was a big time thing. I remember that damn pinball game.
Yep.
Good, like, yeah. So that's why I'm on the list. So
yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's like, I know I left it off, but it's hard to argue its place. I mean, it is. So, but
while we had
number one,
we had the same one.
And as dumb as this sounds, like, for a number one pick, do we even need to explain why this movie? Like this is my number one. I know we weren't ranking them. But if we were, this is number one, clear as day for me. Because this changed everything going into 2000.
I think you underestimated it, and I think I did too. And for people who are wondering, it's The Matrix.
Yeah. Which, and honestly, I would hope people would be able to guess that, even though it wasn't kind of wacky. But
I'll tell a funny story. That's the first movie I went to when I left the movie theater. Everybody left for, like, their jaws dropped. Because I know people don't think about it now. I remember seeing previews of the movie. I remember, like, I'm going to go see this. But I didn't know what the movie was about. I didn't know what the movie was about. I just say, okay, it looked like a cool action movie. It got Keanu Reeves. Let's check it out. And you going in there, and I'm like, what the hell am I watching?
Yeah.
But not in the bad way. Like, I have never seen anything like this. Like, the Wachowskis, like, they did Bound. And I remember seeing that. There's no way in the world you see that movie and think, okay, they're going to be the same group that's going to make the damn Matrix.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. That's almost like, that's, we joke about Kenneth Branagh did, like, Macbeth, and then he also directed Thor. Like, stuff like that. But this is, it's like watching, and I'm like, all the stuff like bullet time, camera angles, the use of slow-mo, like, the stories about, like, it's a cliche story when you think about it now, like, you know, hero journey, da-da-da-da-da, and he's basically space Jesus.
Yeah.
But it hadn't been done like that. Like, the style, and, you know, the good guys are multicultural. They run around wearing all black. Black used to be what the bad guys wore. All the villains are a bunch of white, clean-cut government agents that all look the same. And it's like, and then it's the whole philosophical thing. It's kind of like, you know, like Joe Pantoliano, would you really want to leave the Matrix? It's kind of like, I mean, think it's a lot. It's a, because people always say, like, what would you do? Like, I'm gonna ask you, if you knew how the Matrix was and you knew it was fake and yada yada yada, but you knew how the real world is and how they struggling and suffering, what are you choosing?
Yeah, Well, especially, it wasn't that even before, he says that after he has the whole spiel about the steak. He's like, I know the steak isn't real. I know I can't really smell this, but I don't care. So,
yeah,
it's...
I'm like...
I didn't know what to expect when I saw this. Because I don't think I knew a whole lot about it at the time. It was my buddies were like, we got to go see this. I'm like, that Keanu Reeves movie? Like, yeah. So we go in, and you're watching. I'm like, all right, this and this. And then it gets into, you know, him winning, I'm sorry, he waking up, pulling, you know. And I understand that some, you know, movie magic, but he goes from looking the way he does to being bald, like monk sort of thing, pulling him out of the goop, and it was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Going back and forth seamlessly, like, this is crazy stuff.
And you just looking into it, like, Keanu Reeves' eyes is kind of like, I got the same look he got, because you're thinking, okay, I'm just this computer hacker guy that works at a computer program in place, and I meet this rave girl, and yada, yada, yada. I know something's up, because I'm chasing Morpheus. It's kind of like, and they describing him like, you know, he's basically the most dangerous man alive. He's a terrorist, and yada, yada. And then you finally think you found what you're looking for, and then you wake up in a damn pile with no hair, no muscles, you blind. Get flushed down the toilet, and you're like, oh, you know, the world you've been living, you've been living a life for like 20 something years. They even made an effort, like, you know, we're happy to go crazy. We normally don't wake people this late. You know, the mind has a problem letting it go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no shit. I guess it would. You live your whole life one way, and then you wake up, and it's like, you've been. And then he go weaving. God, like,
yeah.
what a damn villain. Like, that is still one of my, that's probably my top three, like, especially the first one, like, before they went over the top with him, like.
Yeah, well, we're contrary on the good one, so yes.
Yeah, like, as far as, like, you know, it's just everything about the way he talked, how he moved, like, it was almost like it was artificial, but not robotic, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't like he was just an android with no emotion. Like, he had feelings. He was, like, he was basically kind of like first bemused. He crack a joke, you know. He, like, that whole thing when they first arrest Keanu and put the bug in him. That scene creeps me out even now.
I don't like anything where, like, something's under your skin. Any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, going to your navel. And he just did with that little smirk on his face. Like, you know, like, and then... when he first meet Morpheus, and you hear his name, like, my name's Smith, and he's like, you know what? I could kill him if I want. I could end this fight easy. I'm like, no, I'm just gonna spar with him and just beat his ass for like 30 seconds, just because. And then he get more and more frustrated. He doing speeches like, you know, how human beings are virus, and he just get the point like, I just hate this damn place. I hate how you smell. I'm sick of this. I just want to get the hell out of here and go home. Like, stop fucking around. Like, you just get more and more frustrated. Like, of course, we saw the action holds up.
You know,
that's we don't have to talk about that. Like, the action. I'm still amazed, like, watching that movie. Like, even though I've seen the behind the scenes in the background, and it's funny where this movie did first, everybody does it now, and nobody's done as good as this movie.
No.
Like, and even now. Like,
yeah, and I enjoyed, like, how, like, those stupid parody movies started making fun of the bullet time stuff. And it's just like, you know you'd made something significant if someone's ragging on you already. Mm-hmm. So, no,
like, Because it's funny, like, Charlie's Angels tried it, and it's kind of like, it just looks so crappy.
Yeah.
And it's like, when everyone else tried it, it's like, it just looks amateurish. Like, whatever you say, like, Wachowski's had flaws, but they know how to. Stuff looks good when they do their movies. It may not always make sense, but it like looks gorgeous. Like, they know what they're doing when it comes, like, camera wise.
Yeah, it's, well, unfortunately with those gals, it's.
Yeah, you know what the problem is? It's Michael Bay's problem, and to a small extent, Quentin Tarantino. They'd be perfect if they had an editor. If they had somebody, it's, I almost call it like Vince Russo syndrome. Kind of like, Vince Russo was fine when Vince McMahon was there to, like, protect him from himself. Like, even like if Zack Snyder had somebody like guiding him or like, you know, shoot this, don't shoot that crap. And like if Christopher Nolan was editing Zack Snyder's movies, Zack Snyder would be an awesome director. I mean, because it's like he knows, like some people just know how to shoot stuff like camera wise, but they don't know how to tell stories. And I think that's like what Chelsea gets saying is like, them like Jupiter Ascending is the perfect example. Like that movie looks gorgeous. That's a mess of a damn movie because there's too much stuff going on. Like you can't, they're trying to tell three stories in one movie. And like the Matrix, like the first one is like lean, mean. It tells a story and it gets to it. It doesn't waste time and it goes and it doesn't try to explain too much stuff. It's kind of like this happened because of this. And that's it. Like, you know, we don't know who started the war, but we know it led to this and it was fine.
Yeah.
When you start delving in like backstory, like the movies, and it's kind of like, I just want the cookie. I don't necessarily need to know how it's made.
Yeah, I don't need to know the ingredients.
And a lot of people make that mistake where Star Wars made that mistake with the prequels. The Matrix made that mistake. John Wick is perfect because it didn't make that mistake. And Blade's the same way. It's kind of like, it is what it is. Just deal with it.
On that note, let's wrap up. I know we could talk about The Matrix. We could have really talked about the top three, the last movies for a long time. But I sidetracked us by talking about the Oscars and Precious, so that's my bad. Yeah, we definitely got to do this again. We'll probably pick up threads of this anyways. But yeah, only Resident Evil's out this week, and then I'll have to catch up on TV, because I know Flash is going to be on sooner or later. Yeah. So...
yeah. Flash is on now, as
yes.
a matter of fact.
Yes, so I'm going to get out of here. Follow us on Stunt Granny, all social media. You know the deal, guys. So thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting us. I'll let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Adulhadi, and please don't chase chicken because there is no spoon. We are out.